You're the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. It's so nice to be back together again here tonight. And you're not supposed to be here. I'm glad you are, though. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And Brother Mervin, I'm sorry I called you Melvin. You've probably been called worse than that. But there's nothing worse than somebody getting your name wrong. I even wrote it down and I still got it wrong. So anyway, we're glad that you and your lovely wife, Sister Faye, are with us tonight. Man, so I want to share just something here real quick from Brother Mike Price. So under other circumstances, I'd be there right now. I had to cancel several trips this year. And as you know, Korea is really on our heart. Has been for many years, and I just feel like it's God's timing, and something has to break, and there has to be some preparatory work for when the doors open into North Korea. There's going to be a flood of every kind of, there'll be lots of Jesuses being presented, but we want to present the true one. Amen. So Brother Mike says an Assembly of God pastor from the Philippines was in the service. So they're having services right now. He had a stroke recently and was still suffering with the after effects, but after prayer, he was back to normal. He was walking around after service, smiling and talking. He came and told me that he never understood the truth of predestination until last night. Amen. Heal your spirit and your soul and your body. He said, God opened my eyes. So not only did the Lord heal his brain, but he opened the eyes of his understanding. Amen. And then Brother Mike just sent this here in just a moment ago, and so I just wanted to share it with you, if you don't mind here. He says, at the end of the service when I was closing, people started coming to the altar. There was a man standing there with both hands raised, and he was crying. I laid my hands on his head and it was extremely hot, like a high fever. I didn't know what he had because I didn't ask. I just prayed and then went on praying for others that were there, and it was over. And I went to the restroom to change my shirt, and that man was still in there cleaning up blood. He saw me and he said, "The evil is gone. I'm healed and free." His wife was with him as well. They started to explain to me what his condition was. He had an infection in his blood that had caused a tumor in the front part of his brain. It was causing extreme pressure and headaches. He had constant pain and pressure, and she said, for 3 weeks. While I was praying for the others, his nose began to bleed. He ran to the restroom outside the church. When he bent over, lots of blood and tissue began to come out of his nose, and from what they described, it was a tumor. It was a tumor that came out in pieces. He said the toilet was an old traditional Korean style, a hole in the floor style ceramic toilet. No water. He said to me, "The evil is gone and I am free. I'm healed. No pressure, no pain. It's all gone." When I was leaving, he came running out of the church carrying his little boy to thank me again for praying for him. When God does something, he does it right. We serve a living God. Amen. And then one more thing he shared was You know, as you know, we've been plugging away over there, as lots of brothers have been. He said the new church in Anyang is doing great. They're everyone new converts and are very hungry. You'd be surprised at the type of atmosphere that was there. It's 180 degrees from what we've seen there. So, you know, just put another shell in and fire and put another one in. You know that God has seed there. Amen. So we're just so thankful for that. Blessed be his wonderful name. We serve the living God. Now, we're not surprised by the testimonies because we've witnessed these things time and time and time and time again. Amen. But it never ceases to cause us to give him praise. And, you know, we're not going over there with some philosophy, and we're not going over there with another flavor of Jehovah Witness or Assembly of God or whatever. We're going over there preaching a living God. And a living God comes on the scene and says, yep, that's me. He's a personal God. Amen. So we're just so thankful for that. Well, we're very excited to have our brother Roel with us again. So it's not Roel, it's Roel. And so, you know, it's like Joel. But I was thinking this afternoon, you know, that song, The First Noel. Well, it's the first Roel. Hallelujah. So we want to keep our brother in our prayers. We're thankful that he's able to take a little time to be with us. And he'll be with Sister Doris here in a few days. He'll be up in Oregon. And then at the meetings over at Brother Joe Green's that he has every year. And, you know, we just pray that God would give him strength and just recharge his batteries, and that he would go home with a double portion for his labors for the kingdom. And it's not easy, and it's you know, you got to come to Tucson and suffer this humidity. No, it's, you know, you just have no idea what a man like that goes through. To he pastors a church. You know, there's some kind of a false doctrine that somehow has got into our ranks that pastors aren't supposed to do any missionary work. If you're not doing missionary work, you're not a pastor. It's just the opposite, because the Great Commission cannot be fulfilled until this day, because you couldn't go into all the world and preach the gospel, because we didn't have this gospel. Jesus said, this gospel must be preached into all the world, and then shall the end come. Amen. So somebody has to go. Amen. And just, you know, I challenge you to name a pastor that isn't out there doing something at some time or another, and then coming back and getting the people behind whatever that is. And then you have a part of it. Amen. There's very, very, very few that are just quote unquote missionaries that are out there on the field. Now, if you got a different idea about it, you're entitled to that. That's just fine. But you know, this is God's work, and God puts the burdens. And, you know, the other issue that we run into this day is that it's hard for a quote-unquote missionary to find support. Anyway, we're not getting out of here until the last one comes in. Amen. And if we don't care, then we need to go follow a different message, because that's why we're still here. We'll be here until the last one comes in. Amen. And you can have a part in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we'll take up an offering. No, just kidding. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. I'll tell you what. Anything that God calls you to do, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to face resistance, right? And the greatest resistance is going to come from those that aren't doing anything. If you're doing something, you're going to get criticized. Right? And if you're doing something, you won't have time to criticize. Right? We got so many experts that just know what everybody else ought to be doing. Well, why don't you do something? Right? Well, praise the Lord. I need more Jesus, more of you. I need more Jesus, more of you. I need so much more Jesus, more. When I have been all used up, when I have been all used up, fill me like an empty cup, fill me like an empty cup. And when it seems that I've had enough, and when it seems I've had enough, I still need more. I need more. Yes, Lord. Jesus, more of you. Oh, I need so much more. Jesus, more. The hunger inside of me, my spirit and soul agree. I have tasted and now I see. I need more. I need more of you. Yes, I need more. Jesus, more of you. I need so much more. Jesus, more. If I'm in a desert place, or dry as an empty vase, fill me up till it's to the top. And I still need more. Oh, I need more. Jesus, more of you. I need so much more. Jesus, more. Quiero más. Cristo, más de ti. Quiero más. Señor, más de ti. Oh, I need more. How many would like more of him tonight? Amen. Jesus, more of you. I need so much more. Jesus, more. Yes, I need more. Jesus, more of you. I need so much more. Jesus, more. I need more. Hallelujah. Amen. If we're desiring more, there's more to be had. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my brother Roel. We're so happy to have him with us.
Bless you, Brother Doug. Good afternoon to everyone. Are you happy you're back in church? Yes. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is what David said. And what we sang a while ago, we want more of him. You know how a tree bears fruit? the tree just drinks more and more water. So it sprouts out branches and leaves and flowers and fruits. And then it drinks some more. And makes the fruits bigger and mature, you know, and ripens the fruits. And we want to be matured in the Lord. Mature in the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to preach a different kind of sermon this afternoon, which I would like to entitle The Revealing of the Bride. We've heard about the revealing of Christ. Now it's time for the revealing of the bride. Hallelujah. I just want to say thank you to Brother Mario and Sister Josephine Chua from the Phoenix Church, because you know, they came tonight to support me. These four Filipinos, together with the Pinedas, they're my amen corner tonight. it's just satisfying to know that you have somebody behind you. At least if I don't get an amen from the congregation, I know I have four. I have five with my wife. Okay. Amen. Our scripture is Revelation chapter 10, verse 10 to 11. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. These are the words of the Lord. May he add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I love this part of the scripture here. Because, you know, Brother Branham speaks about this 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. And he refers to it as the seventh seal. The seventh seal is Revelation 10. The whole chapter, that's the seventh seal. And the seventh seal, he said, is the coming of the Lord. That's when the mighty angel descends or comes down. And he relates it to the rapture scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Of course, we understand that Christ is the mighty angel. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. Was fulfilled by Christ, the Son of Man. And we know that Revelation 10, 7, verse 7, is a Son of Man. Amen. Whose ministry revealed the Son of Man. Amen. But the chapter did not end there. You know, this message did not end with Brother Branham. This message did not finish when Brother Branham was taken away. The pillar of fire did not leave after Brother Branham passed. I believe the pillar of fire is still with us. And we're here to fulfill our commission. And that's the verses that we just read. Our commission is to take the book, the open book. We cannot take the book until the seals are open. So, the commandment was to take the book from the hand of the angel and eat it up. That's right. Amen. Amen. Are we feasting on the word? Are we eating it? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said, in his mouth it was sweet as honey. Oh, it's so nice, so good to talk about the message. Seems like time just stops when you talk about the message. You don't care if it's midnight or if it's dawn or whatever time, if it's noontime in Arizona. You don't care what the weather condition is. When you talk about the word, you talk about eternal things. When you talk about the message, you're talking about God. Hallelujah. So you don't want the fellowship to end once you start talking. You just ask the minister's wives. You want confirmation about that? Ask the wives. Hallelujah. But once you get it in your tummy, once you begin to digest it, and digestion means the food becomes part of your being. It becomes part of your life. That means you put the word into action. Hallelujah. You apply it in your lives. Hallelujah. Then the bitter experiences come. They always do. Because, you know, character can only be molded by the sufferings and the trials that we go through. Hallelujah. So it's nice to talk about. The word is so nice to talk about. But you apply it in your life and look for the bitterness. Hallelujah. But that's all right because the Lord promised to see us through. Hallelujah. So our commission is after eating the book is to prophesy again. So Brother Doug was talking about missionarying. This is our commission. Prophesy again. But Abraham said it's not fair that we heard the message hundreds of times. And there are people somewhere on the islands, on the mountains, the tribes that haven't heard it once. It's not right. It's not fair. And we have a responsibility as a people. As the bride of Jesus Christ, after we eat the book, to prophesy again. Hallelujah. Not to prophesy a new thing, but to prophesy the same thing. The same thing that we heard from God in these last days. Hallelujah. Say what the tapes say. Hallelujah. I believe in saying what the tapes say. I believe in not going astray or getting away from what the prophet said. I believe that with 100%. But I'll try to explain that in a little bit as we close. But that's our commission. To prophesy again, speak the same message, preach the same word before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. That's a great responsibility. Hallelujah. The book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. I believe this is the fulfillment. This is happening right now. This is what's taking place in the bride age. You believe that we're in the bride age? We're no longer in the church ages. No longer in the denominational age. We've come to the bride age. This is the bride age. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. It says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Oh my. As the waters cover the sea. This gospel will be preached unto all nations. And then the end will come. Hallelujah. I hope we can realize how heavy our responsibility is. The responsibility that we carry to take this light, to take this message to many nations, tongues, tribes, and kings. Hallelujah. You see, there's a revival going on around the world. It's the greatest revival that ever took place on earth. But it is something that is unnoticed. People don't notice it. It's taking place, but people don't are not paying attention Brother Branham says in the seventh, the city is not air with a shout. No, broken cistern. He said, it takes the Spirit of God to bring life. And that life must come out of, not just of the intellectual revival. It's got to come out of the Bible. Hallelujah. The word revival. That word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is not a revival of miracles and signs and wonders. Because the world has seen that. In the first pool and the second pool, the world has seen that. Hallelujah. And I believe it's still happening. And the people's natural tendency is to look for signs. Look for healing, the miraculous. But this is not a miracle revival. This is not a miracle. Brother Bama said talking about a miracle of numbers, quantities. Numbers of people gathering together. Filling up big auditoriums. It's not that kind of a revival. This is not a popular revival. Hallelujah. This is something that you don't notice. But it's really happening amongst us. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 14. Now, Brother Branham, I'm just going to let Brother Branham explain this verse. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 14. Because if you're not careful, you exclude yourself from this verse. Because it says, God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. After enumerating the people that believe and trusted in God, the giants of faith, the Hall of Famers, Revelation 11. And then the Bible says, they, these people, Abraham and Enoch and Noah and all those saints of old, these people, they without us will not be made perfect. Well, Paul wrote this scripture. And if you're not careful, you might say, oh, I don't live in the age of Paul. But Brother Branham took the scripture and explained it away. Listen, he said, you get it? These people who died in here, stature of a perfect man. I'm reading from stature of a perfect man. These people who died in here are depending and waiting on us. Oh, my. We're involved in this. We have an involvement. He said, so this church, he said, has to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. Oh my, I believe that with all my heart. And they are under souls under the altar, waiting for this church to come to its perfection. And that's when Christ does come. He goes on to say, uniting time and sign, he said, we find that now time comes when the trumpet sounds and these sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us. Oh my. And then Brother Benham goes on to say, they are depending on us. The people that died in the past church ages, even included, are depending on us. Hallelujah. And when they come together, they unite with the living ones, the church uniting with the word, and the church and the word uniting together. That is what's happening right now. Becoming one, and the dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They're depending on us. You and I need to come to perfection. Amen. And that will signal the resurrection. So they're They're all watching us in that other dimension. Watching for events taking place. Hallelujah. And they're all depending on us. That's why in Hosea chapter 2 verse 16, Hosea 2:16, the Bible says, and it shall be at that day, what day? This day. That the Lord, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi. Thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali. Ishi means husband. Baali means Lord. Hallelujah. There's a transition now. There's a change. A change in relationship. From Lord to servant, which is a good relationship. Father to children, and it's a good one. Hallelujah. To husband and wife. Hallelujah. And that relationship between the husband and the wife is the most intimate relationship you can have on earth. Oh my. Hallelujah. So this is the age that we're living in. This is what God is doing today. Hallelujah. And this should be our emphasis today. I believe, Brother Doug, that we should be more emphasizing it more. What? Our intimacy, yes, sir, with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Intimate relationship. Hallelujah. You know, three is a crowd. When it comes to personal relationship, the intimate relationship with our husband. Amen. Brother Branham talks about the three-room house. The intimate affair happens in the bedroom. Hallelujah. It's a person-to-person affair with Christ in the privacy of our spiritual bedroom. Hallelujah. It's not a public show. It's not a party with all kinds of commotion in the world, but just a quiet impregnation of the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is getting pregnated with the word. Hallelujah. And the word is now growing within us. When the word grows within us, it doesn't make a sound. That's why there's silence in heaven. No sound. Brother Branham likens it to the rising of the sun. He said, when the sun rises and drives the darkness away, you don't hear a sound. But something great is happening. And Brother Branham says, the sun is actually drawing millions of gallons of water into the atmosphere, right? That forms the cloud. But you don't hear anything. Something great happens. Hallelujah. But you don't hear nothing. Hallelujah. When the word comes to maturity within the bride, you don't hear nothing. It's not a noisy revival. Hallelujah. Amen. Actually, it's very quiet. That's the reason the people don't pay notice to it. It's the opening of the word to the bride. Hallelujah. As the seals are broken, Christ reveals himself. How many can say amen to that? Amen. And the bride is revealed with him. As Christ reveals himself, the bride is revealed with him. Because the bride is part of Christ. Hallelujah. We trace back our inheritance and find out that everything has been fully paid for. When the seals were broken. Hallelujah. That's our title deed. That's our inheritance. And when you get your title, you have to check. Because there might be encumbrances, what we call encumbrances in the Philippines. I don't know what you call it here. But these are burdens. These are responsibilities. If you lease it, if you loan it, you know, you owe money on it, you have to pay it back. But we receive, amen, the title deed, the word, it came open to us because the seals have been broken. And we trace this all the way back to the owner. And God is the original owner. And we find no encumbrances with it. Meaning, it's all paid for. No burden is left. Hallelujah. So, stop thinking that Jesus only paid the down payment. And you have to pay monthly amortization every month all your life. No. It has been fully paid for. Paid in full. Hallelujah. Amen. We are the blood of Christ by the Spirit. That's what the prophet said. Amen. And Christ is those seals. He said he is the one who opened the seals. And he is those seals. For the whole word of God is Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. I say amen to that. Amen. Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of the seals then? This is very basic. We need to know this by heart. What is the opening of the seals then? He says, it's revealing Christ. I believe all the seals were open. Not just six seals, but seven seals were open. There was a big debate in our country whether the seventh one was open or not. And there were groups that say, still not open. And I chose not to argue with them. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. If it's not open to you, there's no argument. If it's still close to you, then it's close to you. Then you cannot benefit from it then. Remember, John cried, John wept when he found out that no one was worthy to open the book. Why did he cry? Because he knew his name was written on it. But he had to know for sure. He had to see his name written on the book. Why did he cry? Because all mankind would be lost if there was nobody found worthy to open it. But I thank God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, hallelujah, has prevailed to open the seals thereof. Amen. So we understand that Christ was the one who opened the seals. And he is the seals. And he is the contents of the seals. Hallelujah. He's the mystery hidden in the seals. As the seals were broken, the mystery is unveiled. Hallelujah. So Christ reveals himself to the church as he reveals the seals. Hallelujah. So there are seven seals, and seven we know is the number of God's number of completion. Meaning, this was a total secret. But now that the seals have been opened, it has completely, amen, it has completely been unveiled. Not one seal left, but seven seals were open. Hallelujah. So, it's not my problem if you don't believe it's open. Amen. Brother Van said, the invisible union, he said it this way. Now, your name is now in the new book. We can actually see our name in the book. In the new book. Not the book of life, makes this clarification, but the Lamb's book of life. what the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your natural union, our natural birth, but the new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. He said, that's your marriage certificate. What's a marriage certificate? It is a document that proves that you are legally married. You say anybody can say he's married, she's married, but show me the proof. Hallelujah. And we can prove it that we have been married to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But Ram says the marriage takes place here. We go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The marriage is when you say yes to the word. Hallelujah. Amen. And you become, and you make yourself subject to the word. Completely. Hallelujah. And it takes full control of your life. Hallelujah. That's your marriage certificate. Where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Now you're not only forgiven, but you are justified. Glory. I don't have to explain to you the difference between the two words. But because justified means it's as if you haven't done it to begin with. You never did sin. In the eyes of God, you didn't do it. You were just trapped into it. Hallelujah. So God actually is making himself known. Making himself from something that is incomprehensible. God being a spirit, eternal spirit. Now he wants to come down to your level. And he wants to make himself known to you. Oh my, I love it. Amen. That God does that. He left his glory in heaven. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. So that God, the invisible one, can become visible. God, the spiritual, the spirit, God, the eternal spirit, the incomprehensible one, can become tangible. But Abraham said this, what is it? It's all God becoming tangible. And you are part of God. You are part of God, and Jesus come to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. It was in God's thoughts, and that's what he come to redeem. What was in his thoughts was what he came to redeem. And them, as soon as it strikes them, they see it because the life is in there. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you're predestinated to it, you're part of the word, you can receive the word. It can become a light to you. Hallelujah. We see this clearly being illustrated in the creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. Let's read it. And Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast. Amen. And to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And then he took out his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her into the man, and said, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now we understand that this is a foreshadow of what was going to happen in Calvary. Because Christ, on Calvary, Christ was put to sleep. And one of his ribs was taken. He was cut open. And three elements came out of his body. Water, spirit, and life. And this is what makes up the bride, right? Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Spirit is what makes up the bride. Hallelujah. So we understand that as Eve came from Adam, the bride of Christ came from Jesus. God did not have to get another lump of clay, amen, and start fashioning it, forming it. He just took Adam and cut his rib, his side open, and took part of Adam. And I can just see Adam, you know, waking from a deep sleep, and he finds this beautiful woman beside him. He didn't say, "Who are you?" But right away, he recognized who she was. He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You came from me. That's why you're called a woman, because you're taken from man. You came, you were a part of me. You were inside of me." Amen, amen. And I thought that was something, that when God created man, he first created the male part, Adam. You know, when he created everything else, they were created as partners by twos, male and female, birds male and female, horses male and female, rabbits male and female. So we just read that Adam gave names to all the animals. And Adam was happy to see the couples. Zebra with zebra. Hallelujah. Lion with lioness. Hallelujah. But he was kind of feeling lonely, because he was looking for somebody he can relate to. You know, he wanted to talk to the horse. And the horse just couldn't understand him. He tried talking to the birds. They couldn't relate to him. And he was kind of lonely. And he was saying, "How come all these animals, they have partners? Where's my partner?" And that's the reason God put him to sleep. Hallelujah. And when he woke up, he saw his partner. And he recognized it right away. Tell me how Jesus can deny you. How can Jesus ever deny you? Hallelujah. When Jesus sees you, hallelujah, he recognizes you. He can never reject you. He knows that you came from him. You are my bone, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You came from me. Hallelujah. That's the reason in the beginning God was lonesome. Because there was nobody to worship him. And you were created for that purpose. Hallelujah. So we can read in the Old Testament, there was a prophet. The prophet named Moses, the Old Testament prophet, who wrote in the beginning. And there was a New Testament prophet named John, who wrote in the beginning. Hallelujah. But William Branham came to us in our day, and he started preaching before there was a beginning. He started describing things before the foundation of the world. He started describing things that God thought in the back recesses of his mind. And he demonstrated that God can actually, God was really omniscient. He knows the very intent of the heart. He can discern every thought. Hallelujah. He demonstrated it in his ministry. So, this message took us before the beginning. This message took us all the way back to eternity. He said in Hebrews chapter 7, paragraph 204, where was Jesus slain at Calvary? He said, no, sir. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. God, in the beginning, when he saw sin, he saw that what was happening. He spoke the word, and Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. And every person was saved. Every person was saved according to the Bible when the Lamb was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. You were included in salvation. That gives me peace. That gives me rest. Hallelujah. God allowed us to access his thoughts of us in these last days. Let me just share with you what he thought of you. I am not a nominal Christian. I am a virgin. Not a foolish virgin. I am virgin to the word. I am a wise virgin. I have heard the midnight cry. My lamp has been trimmed and cleared and filled with oil, and it's now glowing. I have been washed in the precious blood of the lamb. I have been sanctified, baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. I have been adopted by my Heavenly Father, and I'm ready to go in the rapture. These are the thoughts of God about you. I have been dearly purchased because his blood bought my full restoration. Amen. Did you know that God has a Facebook? Yes, a real one. It's got a gallery up there. Do you want me to read it to you? Questions and answers, number 3. He said, and now, describing our theophanies, now, in other words, when you become a young man or a young woman, and like God takes a picture of you. God took a picture of you. When? In eternity. Not in the present world. He didn't take a picture of you while you were still out in the world. You know, he didn't take a picture of you high in dope, partying, running around in the world, spending more time interacting with all kinds of people online. You know, you didn't get it. Brother Branham said when he saw that vision of the bride, he said, stay in line, right? Not stay online. Listen to the tapes. He didn't say stay online. He said, so I don't care what they would do with you. He took a picture of you in your perfect image, in the image of God. Which was perfect. It was a perfect picture of you in eternity. So he said, he put that in his gallery. So he said, I don't care what they would do with you. They cannot destroy that profile. You can read it in the Word. They cannot destroy that image. Hallelujah. That picture in God's gallery. Oh, my. Up there. It cannot destroy it. It is in heaven. You couldn't burn it up, feed it to the lions, do it any way you want to. It will come forth again just as sure as 2 and 2 is 4. Just as sure as God spoke it, it will come forth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an eternal picture of you. Your profile picture in the eyes of God, in God's gallery in heaven. Hallelujah. And no matter what people do to you on this earth, in this world, they can never destroy that profile. Because it's eternal. You are God's attributes. God said, Brother Bram said, he has never had a new thought about anything because his thoughts, he's always had and always will have. And he knows the end from the beginning because he's God. Amen. Thus, the thoughts of God are eternal. You're familiar with the verse, with the quotation. And they are real. The thoughts of God are eternal and they are real. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint that he has drawn up, which one day will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal, a part of God. Oh my. So if you're part of that attribute, what is this quote saying? Then you are eternal with God. Hallelujah. You can only be eternal with God. You can only have eternal life if you're part of God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's only one thing that's eternal, and that's God. The head coming to the body. Watch this now. This is our day. This is what's taking place. The head now, Christ, is coming to the body. No more as a church, see? No more. The bride is called. But Abraham said, I no longer call you church. I now call you the bride. In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? What's the purpose of the revealing of the Son of Man? But Abraham said, it's to join the church to the head. To unite the marriage of the bride. Oh my. The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. Because Jesus will never yoke up with something different. He said it in His Word. Don't yourself yoke yourself up with unbelievers. If you're not the Word and Christ is the Word, He will not marry something that is not the Word. Hallelujah. You have to be the Word. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it will take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. Do you see what I mean? Said, see, it's the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh amongst us and will make this Word so real that it will unite the church and Him as one, the bride. And then she will go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united, but we go to the wedding supper. The marriage takes place here. We just go to the reception. Amen. Amen. There's something special taking place right now. Amen. And the world is not noticing it. But it's happening. And only the bride of Jesus Christ knows that it's happening. Why? Because the head is now coming down to unite itself with the body. Hallelujah. Amen. So that the body, that the head and the body becomes one. But Branham says, the man and the woman, they're actually one person. And they have to come to unity. And before that can happen, there must be a manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. The seals must be broken first in order to reveal Christ. Hallelujah. And open the word to us. When their eyes were open. Now, I'll quote another message. The token. Because I believe this is claiming time. He now claims what he has redeemed. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came down the first time to redeem his bride. But then he will come again to take his bride. So I believe we're in that season now. He's coming down to redeem his bride. His blood-bound people are in him, sealed in there by the Holy Spirit. You are in him. How do you get in him? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whose body? The body of Christ. Amen. And that's the place that God has chosen to live in and manifest himself through. Hallelujah. When their eyes were opened, and now if you have in the quickening, if you were in the quickening at his beginning, that's when he come to redeem. And your name was put on the Lamb's book of life in his thinking at the beginning. And he come to redeem all names that are in the book. Not one more. Just what is in there. When the last name is redeemed, he takes the book and claims what he has redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. After the last one, when the last one, hallelujah, has been birthed into the word and been manifested here on earth, hallelujah, then we're going. The rapture will go. Hallelujah. At the same time, something else is happening. He says, if you recognize your position in the body of Christ, if you only know, if you can only know, and Brother Bram says someday she will, then the rapture will go. Hallelujah. But you have to recognize your position first. I'm looking at these notes now. God becoming tangible. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible. And you are a part of God. And Jesus came to redeem those that was on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. It was in God's thought. And that's what he come to redeem. As soon as it strikes to them, they see it because the life is in there. He said he came as a redeemer. To redeem anything is to bring back. Amen. Bring it back. It was God's thought of you. Think. Little you, little me. No one in the world could take my place. Nobody can take yours. You being a Christian and filled with the Holy Spirit, God and before the foundation of the world seen you and knowed every feature that you got, see? And Jesus come to bring you back. That's what Jesus was here for. The Redeemer, the human body, to bring you back. That had to become, to come to be human as a redeemer, to display his attributes as Savior. Identification, he said, in the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. God is an object of worship. Only thing he was eternal. And in him was attributes. And those attributes were thoughts. And those thoughts were expressed into words. And the word was made manifest. And we know that Christ was made manifest in order to reveal himself. And we understand the purpose of the breaking of the seals. It's revealing Christ. And as he reveals himself to us, we understand that he is also revealing the bride. As we get to know more of Christ, we're getting to know more of ourselves. Hallelujah. Because we're part of him. Hallelujah. And then in the message adoption, he said this. Now all things has been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of sons of God coming back, the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ. Yeah, right. Now Brother Branham was talking about men.
That's right.
He didn't put it all on himself. He was talking about certain men. The Spirit of God coming to these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it will join him and the church together. And this is what God is doing now amongst us. Hallelujah. This is what we call now the manifestation of sons. God becoming tangible. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's a perfect type. Moses was a man, one man leader. He brought Israel out of Egypt. And Brother Branham is our Moses today, right? Because he brought us out of our denominational Egypts. Hallelujah. But it was Joshua that took the people in the promised land. Hallelujah. And now it's time for Joshua to take over. Our Moses is past. Our Moses is gone. Joshua is here right now. Hallelujah. And Joshua is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Our Joshua today is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now we're looking for leaders to take the place of Brother Branham. Brother Branham pointed out to us clearly who our leaders, our true leader is. He said, our true leader is the Holy Ghost. And somebody wanted to insist that Joshua now is the fivefold ministry. I say no. Our Joshua today is the Holy Ghost in the fivefold ministry. If you want to put it that way. But he never said, Brother Bram never said, Joshua is the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. You see, Moses was a one-man ministry and all the people had to look up to him. Remember the story when they went to war with the Amalekites? And Moses, as he raised his hand, Israel was winning. And when he grows weary and he starts dropping his hands, then the Amalekites are winning the battle. So we read in Exodus chapter 17 where it says, when Moses' hands were heavy and they took a stone and put it under him, Aaron and Hur. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on the one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You see, they had to look for Moses for strength and courage. They had to always look for him because it was a one-man ministry. Joshua could not take his place. Hallelujah. But then after Moses passed, it was Joshua's time. And Joshua was commissioned, amen, by God, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. But it's a different form of a ministry. It's a different kind of ministry. It's a body ministry. With Joshua, it was more structured. First, the ministers with the ark, and then the musicians, and then all the tribes, you know, everything in order. This is the body ministry. Hallelujah. Now that Brother Branham is gone, we have something to do. We have a part in this ministry. Because now we live in the time of the revealing of the bride. Hallelujah. The ministry of the bride is a body ministry. Brother Bam said it this way. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And look. God in his body. Christ. God in his body. He called it Christ. And then Christ in his body, the bride. Oh my. Oh my. He said God made manifest in Christ and Christ made manifest in the bride. As God took the form of the body of Adam, the woman, and she fell, and God has took the form of the body of Christ in his flesh, his body, which is his word, and is bringing a bride out that won't fall by denomination or creed. No, sir. But she is coming back with a pure, unadulterated word of God being manifested. Oh, my. It's so simple. God in his body, that's Christ. Christ in his body, that's the bride. God making himself more and more tangible. More and more comprehensible. Understandable. Making himself clear. Making more sense of his word. That's what's happening now. Hallelujah. That's why there's rejoicing in our midst. There's revival. Not only the bride is happy, but the bridegroom is happy. You know, we're all excited and looking forward to the rapture. We're all in anticipation. Every time we read the headlines in the news, we see something new taking place in the internet, and we say, the time is really at hand. We're here. Amen. But you see, in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5, it says here, for as a young man married a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Oh my. God, our bridegroom, rejoices over us. We think we're excited to be in the rapture. God is excited too. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why it makes God happy to see a meeting like this. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. There was a joy that was set before him, and do you know what that joy was? It was the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the reason he endured the cross. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 139, verse 17. I'm going through this very fast because we're running out of time. Psalms 139 verse 17 to 18. How precious also are the thoughts, are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. He thought about you. And he did not have one negative thing about you. Negative thought about you. The next time depression hits you, just think of this verse. Hallelujah. Think of a glass and fill it with sand and take the sand grain by grain out of the glass. And as you do, think of the wonderful thoughts God has about you. Amen. Amen. You're precious. You're beautiful. You're holy. You're filled with power. Hallelujah. You are the Word made flesh today. And after you empty the glass, you do it over again a million times. As if you're dreaming. And when you wake up, the Bible says, you are still with God. Oh my. Oh my. It's just inexhaustible. God's positive thoughts about you. Hallelujah. The strong, passionate love of God towards the bride. So strong, so powerful. It's stronger than the love for a child, of a parent for a child who was shamed and made to suffer and die on the cross. For God so loved the world. Oh my, that's a powerful love, brother. God, who among you parents want to see your child suffer? And God saw that happen to his son. Hallelujah. But there was a greater love. More powerful than the love of a father to a son. And that's the love of God to his people. Hallelujah. So, we understand that the law culminates in Christ appearing. After the law came Christ. And then Christ brought grace, right? And now we're under grace. Not under the law. Right. Hallelujah. But the dispensation of grace to the Gentiles will come to an end. How many knows that? Amen. At the end of the law came Christ. But at the end of grace comes the bride of Christ. The law is the male part. Cistern, the father, the male part is the disciplinarian. Yeah. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And then comes grace, that's the female part. Which the Bible says is a better covenant. Because in the New Testament, better covenant. It's better. Why? Because what God did, he put his spirit in you. And he's actually the one who's obeying the law. Hallelujah. So he know you are going to fail if he let you alone. So he comes in and dwells in you and obeys his law himself. So how can God fail? You and I can fail, but God can never fail. Hallelujah. That's why Paul could say, it's no longer me that's living. It's Christ that's living within me. Praise the Lord. It's a better covenant. Because in the Old Testament, God says, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you obey my word, I'll bless you. If you disobey my word, I'll curse you. But in the New Testament, he does it himself. He gives his word and he obeys his own word by you. Amen. You become a channel of obedience to the word. He's actually doing the works in you. Hallelujah. You do a certain good thing, you think you did it. No, you didn't do it. Christ did it through you. Hallelujah. See, it's God doing the works. And then in the end, He'll give you a reward. That's a better covenant. I like that covenant. Amen. Amen. How can you lose? Hallelujah. You see, so we're thankful that God took us out of denominationalism. It's the calling out of the bride. Hallelujah. But Brother Branham said something that struck me. He said, get the man out of the water first before you can get the water out of the man. So I'm wondering today, God has called us out of denomination, but has the denomination come out of us? Hallelujah. And we talked about that Baptist spirit in Branham Tabernacle. Right? He says, the system, not the men, not the people, but the system winds them around and separates them from other brothers, and they cannot do this when the system that they're under won't permit them to do it. That's what I'm against, Brother Branham says. He fought against it. Brethren, and I wouldn't want you to misunderstand. I know that that is God's truth, and I know that thing has to die. Denominationalism has to die. Every type, shadow, and even the scripture itself proves it. It has to die amongst ourselves. Hallelujah. Let me just share this with you. I'm winding down now. Seven church ages. He talks about the Son of Man in Revelation 1 and in verse 13. He was describing him. And he said, now that's the Bible. He said, that's what the Spirit says. See, the candlesticks. And he explained the significance of the candlesticks. He said, that's the church ages. And all right now, the 13th verse. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was one like the Son of Man, walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Can you tell me who this man was? Amen. He said, what? One like him. Who was this? He said, his bride. We all know that's Jesus Christ. But the prophet of God said, that's his bride, one like him. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, what's now? Clothed with a garment down to the foot, the holiness of Jesus Christ covering her, has washed us from our sins with his own blood. All right. Girt about the paps. And he emphasized, girt about the paps. Not a man, he said, a woman. A pap. Pops in the Bible is a woman's breast. And a man does not have pops. They said it's not a man, but a woman. With a golden girdle, the gospel that held the power and the glory of God over the body of Christ. Amen. The denominational world, when they see the Son of Man walking in the midst of the garden, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, they say, that's Jesus Christ. They're right. And Brother Bam said, that's his bride. Because Jesus Christ and the bride has become one. Hallelujah. Look, God in his body. No, we went through this. All that was in Christ he poured into the church. You know the statement. And everything that was in Christ, now he pours into the bride of Jesus Christ. All that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured into the church. Hallelujah. This is Jesus in bride form. Invisible union is this how he said it. Can't you see we are where we are standing? Life is in the grain again. What is it? Just exactly like the same grain that went to the ground. Went in the ground. The same Jesus in the bride form. Amen. Same power, same church, Same thing, same word. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was the first one to come to maturity. Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth. Although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. In the bride coming of Christ. That's an exclusive message terminology. The bride coming of Christ. Something is happening. Christ comes to the bride. The head descends and unites himself with the body. So that the body becomes one with the head. The bride coming of Christ. Coming out of the church, there will have to be a sheep wave again in the last days. What is a wave sheaf? That's a handful of wheat that's been waved before the people. Showing them that that part of the field has been ripened. That's the first fruit that has come to maturity. What does that tell us? There's a whole field. Amen. Filled with others that will also come to maturity like Christ. Hallelujah. And Brother Bram said, waving of the sheep. What is a sheep? That's the first one that come to maturity. The first one that proved it was a wheat, that proved it was a sheep. Hallelujah. There will have to be a sheep waved again in the last days, Brother Bram said. Are you that church? Oh my. Something is happening. Hallelujah. Believers are coming to full maturity. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. And the first time they will comfort the bright age for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. Hallelujah. And this is what is going on, is taking place right now all over the world. Hallelujah. And we need to lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened. See, you can pick up the message and then let the Son bake all the greenness out of you. All the bickerings, all the immaturity, childishness. I should say. Hallelujah. Should be baked away. Baked out of us. The greenness should be baked out of you. See, making matured Christians. See what I mean? God is coming soon to receive his church. And we must have that type. We must be the type of Christians for him to receive. The wheat has to get ripe. And then you believe in the minister of the bride? Amen. He said, this man, if they can pick up this, he's talking about the message, if they can only pick this up and goes out with it, you see, you don't pick it up and study it and keep it to yourself. You need to go out with it. Amen. Prophesy again unto many tongues, nations, peoples and kings. Hallelujah. Go out into all the world. Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. If they can pick up this and goes out with it, they can make more sense to it. See, to bring it to a place that you would, I just want to lay the seed, Brother Bram said, then hope that they can make it come to life. He was talking about young men that can take this message, pick up this message and go with it, preach it. Hallelujah. With anointing of God, the eagle anointing that came to us in our age, and they can make it come to life. Hallelujah. So I believe in saying only what the tapes say. So some people, they start playing the tapes. But Bram did not say, play the tapes only. He said, say only what the tapes say. There has to be somebody to say what the tapes say. So that they can make more sense out of the message. Hallelujah. And I believe it's fully scriptural. I think you know this verse. Let me share it with you. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 5 to 9. Here's the setting. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. This is how they worshiped God back then. For he was above all the people. There was a platform. And when he opened it, he opened the book, the scroll. And the people stood up. And when he opened it, the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen. Are you with me? With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Amen. And also Jeshua, Bani, Sarabiah, Jamin, all these priests, these names that are hard to pronounce. But this, the Bible said, they are Levites, caused the people to understand the law. Oh my. And they make the people... And the people stood in their place so that they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave sense. They read the law and did not stop there, but they gave sense to what the law was saying. Amen. This is what the prophet meant by say what the tapes say. Make more sense out of it. Make it come to life. Hallelujah. Amen. Eat the book. This is not the time to talk about the message. We should be living the message. The message is Christ. Hallelujah. And there is an end time ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 to 19. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Given to us after we've been reconciled, then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have something to do. It was an unfinished work that God left on earth. So you can participate in it. This is called the ministry of reconciliation. It has been entrusted into us. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 11 says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Amen. This is the message, that we should love one another. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 15 and 17, for so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men and love the brotherhood. Because we're in this together. We belong to a body. Hallelujah. Somebody asked Brother Branham, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? And he said, sure. That is what is going on right now. The bride of Christ, certainly, it's the message of the hour. See, the bride of Christ, sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? That's the bride of Christ, sure. She's got a ministry. It's a great ministry. It's the ministry of the hour. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God is now revealing the bride. As Amen. He reveals Christ. He reveals part of himself in the bride. And we have something to do in this last hour. And I'm just so excited to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. Give him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a clap of praise. Amen. For what he's doing. You might think, for all my weaknesses, can I become like him? Can I become the Word? The Word is so perfect. How can I become like him? Well, Brother Branham said it directly, very simply. He said, you become the Word as you receive the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the Word made flesh today. Amen. This is what the Scripture says. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, my brother. This story has a happy ending. And there's happiness along the way. You know, it's not this, I endured my salvation. This is a great time to live. This is a great age. And I'm standing before great people. And you're not great because of anything you did, but you're great because you're surrendered to him and allowing him to manifest himself, to have preeminence in a body. Amen. Amen. Just wonderful, wonderful. Praise his wonderful name. How great is our God? The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice.